pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Good morning. Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. It's Friday. Friday. Finally, Friday. Thank you for being with us. 251-343-0106 is how you get in touch with the show. If you so desire, utilize the text line. Coming up on the program today from Alabama Daily News, Todd Stacey, also from Capital Journal. We'll go out to him. I don't know. I'll take a look at his newsletter for the subject matter. We're going to deviate into sports ball. We've been doing that a lot lately, but it is the beginning of football season. My friend from Tide 100 in Tuscaloosa, Hunter Johnson, will make time for us. I had no idea what Bama's going to be like. I haven't, really kept up with it. But we'll fill that void, hopefully. He'll probably make some snide remarks about the Auburn Tigers. And I know some of you will like that. What are the expectations? And probably do what everybody's doing right now, talk about Lane Kiffin. So I'm just they've got to have their the finalized roster at LSU for the Clemson game tomorrow night. Will there or won't there be NFL players on the roster? How do we feel about that? I mean, this is straight up home cooking, Louisiana, like East Baton Rouge Parish Judge. This is I don't know. But, Moon and I were talking about this on my show, on our show on Tiger Talk Overtime, but I think Kiffin's just doing what he's got to do or trying to do to put his program in the best position to win football games. And sure, let's villainize Lane Kiffin, but he's at this fork in the road here because of the ineptitude of an over, just a well-financed bureaucracy for 30 years that never could adapt to the legal system and set itself up in a way with these changing, legal standards as far as it goes with the, essentially the rights of the college student athlete. I mean, they weren't going to have this sweetheart deal forever. But we can get into that as the show goes on. I'm sure some of you got some opinions. In 11 o'clock hour, we'll talk to our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. So you'll want to make sure that you stick around for that. Once again, text line, you need to be in touch with the program, 251-343-0106. Let's see a few things here, a little few small things. I think flock camera guys, Sam Gavan, state senator from North Alabama, he's also a lawyer, says he wouldn't go as far as, saying your the flock cameras violate your privacy rights, your Fourth Amendment protections. But he did say that if there's abuse with these camera systems, maybe the law enforcement in question needs to lose retirement benefits or have some very significant legal penalty to prevent abuse. It looks to me like the legislature is going to clear the path for flock cameras. in, you know, there's an Alabama Power connection with him being a vendor. That's what I've been told. Not independently verified. And the cities and the counties, the associations are going to want these things. I mean, in theory, they're going to lower cost of you know, you don't need as many patrol cars on the streets, potentially, I guess. But they're going to put in some kind of framework and tell you what a great job they've done protecting your Fourth Amendment rights. Just these kinds of issues come up, guys, and you know, during the election cycle, were we talking about these cameras? They've been around, and they're not new. Now, for some reason, this is the hot-button issue right now. And the legislature, I would assume, is probably going to have to react to it next year. Let's see here. One more thing. I guess J.D. Vance, yesterday during his long press briefing. So if you had been keeping up with it, there was a widow of an airman, Major John Alex Klinner. He was killed in Iran. And the widow had gone on social media to say that she wasn't getting what they thought they were entitled to as a family. And for the loss of her husband, very public about it. Of course, media jump on this. Look, it's Trump's ward. He's not even taking care of widows. What a terrible human being. And Vance yesterday in a press briefing, he was killed. Her husband was killed. Not during an active declaration of war, I believe, was the justification for not whatever it is that she's entitled to or she thought she was entitled to. And Vance, during the press briefing, said, no, she'll get what she's entitled to. So I don't know what that means, but he has at least paid lip service to it during the press briefing. Speaking of press briefings, this is a fascinating story to me. I've known Maria Bartiromo for a long time. Back in the day, when I first got started at Conservative Incorporated Media, I was hired by the Media Research Center, and my job was to monitor business media. So Media Research Center is kind of a conservative watchdog. And the idea was you point out the liberal bias in the media and you document it. And you show. And there was nothing like this at the time because people just said, oh, the media is liberal. But there was never like this body of work to show, yeah, they really are more liberal than you think. And it was like my first job in Washington, D.C. was working for them. But I was handling, it was a fascinating time, business media, which there was no Fox Business yet. There was CNBC. There was Bloomberg. And there was some other business programming. CNN had a failed financial network. CNN, FN. Anyway, so I spent a lot of time back then watching CNBC. And then I got to know all those CNBC people. And some of them have gone on to do other things. Aaron Burnett's now on CNN. Jim Cramer's still there. Larry Kudlow went to Fox. He went to the White House for a while, and he came back to Fox. Jim Cramer's been around. Joe Kernan's been around. Maria Bartiromo, she was she was the first female to broadcast a report from the Florida New York Stock Exchange. It was sort of this like antiquated they didn't have women on the floor. And she became the first reporter there. And she really, I guess, kind of hit a meteoric rise during the tech boom. So, long story short, she goes about 15 years ago to work at Fox. And Fox, this is when Don Imus, he was at MSNBC, and then they, for some reason, he went away for a while. Well, we know why he went away, because of the nappy-headed, you know what, comment about the Rutgers women's basketball team. But then he, for whatever reason, Fox Business starts doing what MSNBC had done years earlier, and they start simulcasting the Imus show. And that kind of gets Fox Business going and gets people watching. And then they end that show, and Don Imus, they stop airing it because they're watching their own morning show to go head-to-head against CNBC and Squawk Box. And they bring on Maria Bartiromo. She's like this big, big hire. She was like one of the biggest names at CNBC. So we kind of learned a little bit about Maria Bartiromo and her time at Fox, though. I mean, she wasn't down with a lot of the woke left. I mean, she was center right. And then, you know, she really, Fox got in trouble with the Dominion voting machines and the accusations that something untoward had gone on in 2020 with those machines. Dominion sues. They settle out of court. Then if you guys remember, so this is some reporting from Dylan Byers at Puck, who used to be at Politico, and he said that the reason Maria Bartiromo is no longer with Fox News, she got fired. According to his report, a lot of people are speculating it was some kind of contract thing, but it turned out, according to Dylan, was that she had wanted to do a story about the Chinese meddling in our elections. Remember that big speech Trump gave, and a lot of networks said they weren't going to cover it. Fox runs it live, and then like this weird juxtaposition happens where it's all MSNBC and CNN and NBC and ABC want to talk about these unfounded accusations, and Fox not a peep about it. Well, she wanted to kind of follow up on this Chinese meddling in American elections narrative that the Trump administration had put out there. Fox shut it down. One thing led to another. The higher-ups at Fox got involved and told her no. The White House, why are you guys at Fox talking more about our Chinese meddling in American elections story? And Maria Bartiromo sends a screenshot of an email that kind of shut down and snuffed out these stories to the White House. One thing leads to another. Trump gets involved, and the Cardinals said of leaking an email, a company, you know, confidential email to the White House, results in her dismissal. Well, she's a free agent now, and where will she end up next? 251-343-0106. Talk about that on the other side. Stick around. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. A little turn of oven on a Mason-Dixon
line. More, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times I'm sure you knew when I bit off more than I could chew.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5, 251-343-0106. So back to the Maria Bartiromo narrative here, and she is now let go by Fox Business. They've parted ways. Now, I think she's well off, and, you know, but you're starting to hear her name, and this could come, you know, it may not come today because of the long weekend. It may be next week. But Maria Bartiromo is White House press secretary. How does that sound? I don't know. I've always thought someone with some TV experience like that might be good in the role. But it'll be... That's the rumor out there. She was clearly more loyal to the White House than her employer. But, you know, we forgot about this. Remember the speech, and Trump goes and Fox gives him the floor, and they do this speech, and it's about election integrity, and it goes in this direction that Fox is uncomfortable with. Meanwhile, the more liberal networks, they don't, I think CBS covered it because Barry Weiss is now in charge there. But it was heavily caveated by their on-air talent. Everybody else tried to ignore it. The speech wraps up. Everybody's like, what just happened? And Fox acts like it didn't happen. The liberal networks were like, this crazy thing that Donald Trump did that we couldn't air on our network. And they wanted some follow-up there. But she was really big on the Dominion voting thing, and I was surprised when they settled on Dominion, with Dominion, that she survived. Tucker Carlson didn't, if you recall. There may have been one or two others. And she survived because she really pushed the narrative about the voting machines. But I guess that was the straw that broke the camel's back. 251-343-0106. Todd Stacey coming up in the next segment, so you want to make sure you stick around for that. Rock and Roll Doctor asks, how about Maria Bartiromo for president? Probably not. Mike, prior to Trump reneging on his campaign promises by starting a war with Iran, I was spending an average $135 a week on diesel. Now I'm spending around $245. But it's good, according to him, to make sure Iran doesn't get nukes. They're supposedly been waiting 2 weeks away for the past 50 years. Mike, I'm going to give you some advice here. I understand your frustrations with Donald Trump. At this point, the entire FM Talk 106.5 listening audience understands your frustrations with Donald Trump. And they're valid, don't get me wrong. But, Mike, you got to move on. You got to accept it. Elections have consequences. We know where you are. You got to move on from this. I know gas prices and diesel prices are higher. I know it's because Donald Trump, and my listening audience knows as well. But, Mike, man, and then I know where you are. To take the energy and the effort every day to get your phone out and text me, I don't know, maybe an average of 100 words a day. We know where you are. It's time to find a zen with this. Find just peace with this. You don't have to like it. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm not telling you to, but. This is what we have to live with right now. Ultra runner Maria Bartiromo has left Fox. I credit my blood money, honey, and her time at CBC. The fortunes of a generation of admirers. I can watch her talk about rising profits and dividends all night long. She's smart, beautiful, articulate, conservative. Are the press secretary rumors true? Yes, I think that they're very real. I think they're very real. What would Joey Ramone say today? Those of you know what I'm talking about. There's a Joey Ramone, or the Ramones, Maria Bartiromo song out there y'all need to Google. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Coming over the phone. Old rope, the larger, building it. that time. And then one day a wealthy customer bought the
Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line. Still come on the program. Hunter Johnson, he's going to be, I guess he's our resident Bammer, but we'll talk Alabama, what to expect. I have no idea. I mean, I know there's a lot of, just a touch of pessimism out there about the Bama program, but they're probably going to be in good shape. They always are. Also, coming up on the program, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. He'll be with us at 11 o'clock hour. Joining us now, we do this on Fridays. My pleasure to introduce Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News, also the host of Capital Journal and Alabama Public Television. Ty, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well. Labor Day weekend. Here we go. It's football time, and I'm not there yet. It's like kind of like Christmas or something, and you got to like hear a few carols, and then maybe you kind of get in that mood. But yeah, I you and I talked about it, but like being an Auburn fan, it's just like you got to be careful not to get your hopes up.
Yeah, and no risk of that this season. I mean, I've seen some of the crazier optimistic, posts out there, and I just, mine are pretty low. But that's not to say I'm not excited. I'm really excited. It's a kind of a fresh start. I'm not going to the Atlanta game. I know a lot of people that are, but I've been to so many of those over the years. I'm just kind of over the kickoff classic thing. But I can't wait to be back in Jordan-Hare. And I'm also kind of glad we're not doing it this weekend because, well, the heat's pretty bad. But I'm like you. I need one more week to kind of marinate in it. But I really am looking forward to tomorrow and basically having a whole day of football to enjoy. I hadn't had, Saturdays aren't the same.
Yeah, just kind of sitting on the in front of the TV, and I don't know. It's a little different, Todd. I'll tell you, with kids running around.
I'm sure.
Yeah, but the days of just laying on the couch for 12 hours straight are over. Hey, speaking of football, man, this Lane Kiffin stuff. I don't like, pro players being on college rosters. But, a part of me is like, Kiffin's just trying to do, what he needs to do to, put his team and his program in a better place. And he's trying to do it within the rules. Maybe he's pushing the envelope. But kind of going after him for this, the real people who really need the blame here is the NCAA.
Well, I think everybody can agree on that. And this is just one of several issues that the NCAA has just kind of not handled real well. Obviously, NIL is another one, and transfer and all that. I mean, if Congress is considering fixing your problem, then yeah, you're pretty out of whack. It's funny because it's Lane Kiffin. If it was any other coach, like, not a whole lot of folks were laughing in basketball season when Nate Oates did essentially the same thing. It was actually during the season, and so that was like this big controversy, but nobody was laughing about it. This is a little funny because it's Lane Kiffin, and he is just kind of a chaos agent. And I mean, this is what you would expect. Of course, he's going to cut all the corners he can. And to your point, I don't blame him for him. He didn't care where a good player comes from, whether it's an NFL roster or Timbuktu. I mean, you can play, you can play, and he's looking for every edge. At the same time, there is something just innately not right about someone, college, giving up your college eligibility, going to the NFL, not playing, and then being able to come back. There's just something fundamentally not okay about that. And so I'm fine with the SEC trying to, suing and doing what they can to get this in order. Because at the end of the day, we've all got to play by the same rules. And I mean, this could really open up the floodgates and become a problem, not just for college, but for the NFL.
You kind of wonder, you know, what does it take to get to the tipping point? I know Congress is dysfunctional, and I know it's very partisan. But when push comes to shove sometimes, Congress will get its butt in gear and do stuff. I don't know how far we are from that point, because it does seem like, I mean, there's a lot of problems here, and they've been unable to respond. There's no one thing that's just going to say, okay, we got to sit down and figure this out.
You're right. And so they're kind of two different issues. And one is this eligibility with players trying to come back. I think that is a temporary problem. This is probably the last year or two that would be a legitimate issue, because it goes back to that 2022 eligibility change. It was COVID related, and there are, you know, there's plenty of folks that say, hey, that senior class kind of got screwed or whatever. I mean, I don't really feel that way, but that's the argument. But I mean, after a certain number of years, you don't have that argument anymore. And so maybe that goes away, but you still need some solid policy on it. I don't necessarily think Congress needs to get involved in the eligibility issue, but some strength from the NCAA and from the conferences could probably put that to rest. On the other stuff, NIL and transfer, I mean, Congress is absolutely considering this. The Senate's going to be back next week. Senator Britt told me that she expects it to come right up. Now, whether that's a good idea, I mean, it is college football season, but there's also like a lot of other pressing issues out there with the economy, and there's a war going on and all this. And so to take up college football is, you know, something. But, you know, the way she described it is, yes, this bill is bipartisan. It's got a lot of momentum, including from the president. It's got Nick Saban behind it. But she still is, and Tuberville as well, are not completely sold on it. They say that it's not exactly great for Auburn, Alabama, and the SEC. I don't know all the details. I know that there's some, you know, flexibility legally that they're not pleased with, but you know, maybe there could be changes, maybe there can be amendments. Can they get to a point where they can actually pass something through the U.S. Senate? I think it's actually fairly likely. Now, I don't know if we're going to all love it, and I don't know if it'll be necessarily as beneficial to Auburn and Alabama as it will be to Ohio State and Texas, but that's, you know, I guess you can't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And then, you know, that there's still a lot of pushback here. And it's just like, how involved does Congress get, or do they do this? Do they, you know, do something to bolster the governing body, be it the NCAA or something completely separate? That what seems to be is, to me right now, it's just there's this power vacuum. And yeah, the NCAA just totally refusing to try to fill it. They're not doing anything. They're okay, we're done with this. We tried. So, and then we see the Big Ten and the SEC. Maybe they can do something here, but they're not going to get all these other conferences to go along with it. They're already kind of despised by rival conferences for, you know, whatever reason. And I just think that's the problem. Like, somebody's got to, there's got to be some appointing authority or something to say these guys are in charge and they're going to work on a solution, and then maybe we could go from there. But right now, it's like you said, it's just this power vacuum. And what happens is the courts and local judges and things like that are filling this void. And that is not good when you have these elected judges that, you know, like an East Baton Rouge Parish judge, who, if he they rule against the LSU, they're toast in election season. So of course they're gonna do this.
This is the easiest ruling that judge ever had to do. Like, it was just no question ever. Well, of course we had the same thing in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah,
not too far off. But yeah, you're right. And to your point about Congress stepping in, I think that's where Senator Brett and Senator Tuberville are not on board. And some of the SEC schools is like, do we want to codify in law the, you know, the fact that you have to stay in one conference, or, you know, just put it, I mean, put it into federal law. I mean, that seems like a pretty drastic step. And I understand that. And as lifelong conservative, that's not the way I typically like to solve problems. But that's the thing. If it goes, if it remains out of whack for so long, then yes, I think that's necessary. I love the idea of, you know, delegating, getting it to the NCAA, but I just don't trust them as an organization to make it happen. But ultimately, something's got to happen with transfers and the collectives. It's, you know, this all started with, you know, the argument that players should be able to make money off of their name and image and likeness. I don't know anybody that is still a holdout on that. Of course, you know, players should be able to do that. But now it's just gotten to where it's just such a money business.
It's an end around. You're not really making money off of your NIL, your name, image, and likeness.
Nope.
That's the avenue to make you a professional athlete because, oh, well, we'll pay you to talk about this muffler shop.
I remember when it first started because Bo Nix was playing for Auburn and he had like a sponsorship with Milo's Sweet Tea. Like, perfect. Yeah, great. That's Alabama. That works great. Who knows how much he was paid, but it was worth every penny. But now the whole reason Auburn's playing in Atlanta tomorrow is they're getting what, $15-16 million just for NIL, just for being able to pay players. I mean, think about the perverse incentives there. You know, we gave away a home game and all that comes with that just to be able to get that extra $15 million to be able to spread it across the roster. That's just not the game that I'm interested in watching. It's not the game that I believe college football to be. And I think most people are there. We just don't know how to get the toothpaste back in the tube.
Yeah, and I don't know you're ever going to get the toothpaste back in the tube. It's just, I don't know, Todd, like you and I have been, we've been in this Auburn thing for a long time, and I kind of know where Auburn's place is in the ecosystem, competing against these, you know, like a Penn State with all these hedge fund managers, Ohio State, Texas, oil money, and Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. And I mean, there's big-time college football, and then there's big-time college football. And I don't know, I'm not like saying that we need to socialize it and force parity and put salary caps in or whatever. But I do think it's a problem because keeping up with those guys is going to be very difficult.
You're exactly right. And look at you know, Major League Baseball right now. There's a real problem with equity there. By that I mean there are only a couple of teams that can even compete for World Series because they're salary cap and all that's way out of whack. The NFL has figured it out. The NFL is full of parity. They've figured it out. And so if it is just a money game, you're right. You're going to have four or five teams that are limitless on fundraising. And yeah, I think there'll be plenty of SEC teams that just won't be able to quite compete. I mean, you know, we got some multimillionaires and billionaires here in Alabama, but you know, it doesn't compare to Texas, doesn't compare to the Midwest and California. So yeah, parity exists in sports because there has to be, you have to have some kind of rules. And you know, I'm okay with a little bit of regulation if it's for you know, preserving the integrity of the sport.
Well, I mean, imagine parity on a college football scale though. And all those Division I-A teams, does Tulane and Auburn or does Furman and Alabama or whatever, I mean, is that the kind of parity we're looking for? Or do we need to kind of like, okay, we can't really do it this way. I mean, maybe you could, but man, I mean, you're going to have these haves and have-nots and some of the have-nots that are going to be, you know, competing at a big time, you know, and is that necessarily fair?
Yeah, and it's kind of a matter of degrees, but look, there was always money in college athletics. A lot of that had to do, I mean, take away like the under-the-table payments to players. We all know that happened. But just like the facilities, the stadiums, all the resources that goes into college football, like there are just tiers to that. And I'm thankful Auburn is on the top tier of that. I mean, facilities-wise and resources-wise. But when you start talking about direct, just a raw, they use the word roster in terms of like money.
Hire general managers like a baseball team, like it's Moneyball and Billy Bean. That's what's going on in college athletics now.
Right. Hey, well, look at Indiana. But if it all comes down to money for paying players, and if you can pay players unlimited, I mean, $5 million, then yes, people are going to get – programs are going to get left behind by that because, that you know, you can have the best practice facility in the world – but I don't want to come to your school if I'm going to get paid $5 million to go to the other school. So yeah. that's a little out of whack. One chance
for some of these guys. They're not going to have an NFL career. This is the one chance for these guys to like make some money. And it's kind of a weird upside down thing. You're making money while you're in college, where most college experience is to set you up to make a living after college. Right.
And again, I'm not against the players making some money and cashing in. Like you said, most of them won't go on to NFL careers, so this is the time to make money. That's fine. But when you combine that with zero consequence transfers and multiple transfers and all that, it makes the sport unrecognizable from what it was, you know, 5-10 years ago.
Todd, folks want to get Alabama Daily News in their mailbox, or they want to know what's got Capital Journal, let them know.
Absolutely. You can always go to aldailynews.com, enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the mailing list. And yes, Capital Journal is tonight. We're starting our candidate interviews. We'd like to have all of the statewide candidates, you know, for public office. Takes a few weeks to do that, but we're starting tonight with the candidates for Ag Commissioner. So Corey Mills on the Republican side, Ron Sparks on the Democratic side, also talking with State Representative Chris England about the prison situation. So good episode of Capital Journal tonight, 7:30 on APT.
Yeah, I'll tune in for that. Ty, we always appreciate it.
All right, Jeff, be good.
All right, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poehler Show on FM Talk 106.5.
This is where you get off, boy.
To the Jeff Poehler Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me and we'll do our best to respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. Be dark. Jeff, I am an LSU fan and I don't think they should play them. And they need to do, Laney needs to go to the pros and let Coach O handle it. That's fair. I don't know if I were, if this were Auburn trying to do this, it seems a little gimmicky. I don't know what the long-term, availability of these players would be. Seems like it's a lot of burning calories or something that's not certain. And kind of building a team around this apparatus does not seem like something, like I said, sustainable for the long term. Is the juice worth the squeeze to get these NFL players on your roster? It's a big gamble, is it? Clay Travis tweeted yesterday that is that there's a big risk reward here. That LSU going in this direction, that the risk is that we get a bunch of NFL players on LSU's roster and they just manhandle everybody. But the reward would be if they are found non-compliant and in violation of rules, they have to forfeit those games, potentially forfeit the season, and everyone gets a laugh out of it. So I know, you know, that's something keep in mind, I guess. Rick, every cell Mike's body is infected with TDS. Every cell in Mike's body is infected with TDS. Sean writes, I hope Maria goes on Tucker and burns it all down. I don't think so. That's not her style, but maybe. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.